With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, 855-212-4CBS. The number to get on in, 855-212-4227. Or you could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet, and we may even read it on the air, and you could do so at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Give me a follow and shoot me a tweet as well. Tyler Moriello and James Graceffo on the other side of the glass. They'll be pressing all the buttons and screening the phone calls for you during the next 4 hours. And we have a whole lot to get to. Steve Diazzi will also join us, the former New England Patriot, Giant, Cowboy, and Jet. He will recap Super Bowl 53 and give us the Boston feel from it as the Patriots do win yet again another world championship, another Lombardi trophy, their sixth in franchise history, ties them for the most Lombardis that they've won in NFL history with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll also be joined by former big league pitcher. We'll do a little big league baseball talk with the former pitcher and now does a great job with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Josh Towers will join us as well. So two good guests for you, the phone calls, the tweets, all that, and we'll get it going right now. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Where we're actually going to start the show on this Sunday morning, though, is with the Alliance of American Football. If you would have asked me a month ago, hey, Zach, after the Alliance of American Football makes their debut, would you talk about it on CBS Sports Radio? And I would say, yeah, I'd talk about it. And we would get to it, maybe do a segment on it. I would have never thought that we'd be leading the show on a Sunday morning at 2:06 a.m. Eastern talking about the AAF. But we are. And the reason we are is because I was very surprised by the positive reaction that the AAF did generate. I put out a tweet right at halftime of one of the games, and I was amazed by the responses I was getting. And I thought it was going to be, I don't know, 60% positive and 40% negative. Because it's new, people are intrigued, I would think, that it's football, so people would like it, not fall in love with it. But I was blown away that there were so many people that were responding right away, love it, surprisingly good. And not just a few tweets, but even if you go away from my mentions and just look at all of Twitter, I saw a lot more positive than negative. Now, the Orlando Apollos beat the Atlanta Legends 40-6, and the San Antonio Commanders beat the San Diego Fleet 15-6. And we're not going to break down so much, oh, what player scored a touchdown? What player ran for a touchdown? What player had an interception? Because we don't really know a lot of these players. There's some guys that you remember, but it's tough to really talk about the players because the identity of the league, since it's so young, it's tough on a national audience to connect the coaches, the players, and by team like we would do in a regular NFL breakdown where everyone knows who's on the Patriots, who's on the Rams, who's on the Falcons, who's on the Chiefs, and so on and so on. But really, for this league, I was impressed by the connection with CBS. I was impressed by the former NFL players they were bringing in, the former coaches they were bringing in to assist with this league. You have the Polian connection as well. So there were things to be impressed about, but still, since it's not the NFL, since it's not college football, I was extremely skeptical of this league. And that's with anything that isn't the NFL or college football, and you're trying to make another football league work. I never think that something like that is going to last, and it's going to last for a long time. So my expectations for this, yeah, I said I'd be interested. Yeah, I'd say check it out for a little bit. And I didn't watch the entire, you know, both two games, but I watched it here and there. And I was surprised with the presentation of the game. I thought CBS did a great job. And when you turned it on right away, and I turned it on, I went out for dinner, then got back in the second quarter, and I turned it on, and if I never watched it before, and I had no knowledge that this league was in existence, the first thought I had when I turned it on in the first 5 seconds, it looks like a college football game. I was surprised by the turnout. I think one of the games had 28,000 fans. And I'm not saying like an SEC football game, but you know, like a mid-major type of a football game, like an American Athletic Conference, the MAC, like something along those lines. 28,000 people in one of the stadiums. And unique uniform colors. It did pop. It did catch your eye. And I thought the presentation of it was very well. So where I'm at right now with this, and we'll get into some more of my likes and some of the things that were confusing and that I dislike in just a second. But where I'm at right now personally is, am I going to alter my Saturdays and Sundays to watch the Alliance of American Football as I do for college football and the NFL, where college football and the NFL to me, is, and this is going to sound a little bit crazy to some, is like an extension of a religion, and it's a way of life, and I could guarantee every college football Saturday, I'm watching college football, I'm not moving off my couch. Every NFL Sunday, I don't miss games. I watch it from start to finish. We may complain during the week, oh, Thursday night games stink, and the London games early Sunday morning, they stink, but we all watch it because we're obsessed with football, and we're obsessed with the NFL, and we're obsessed with college football. So with the AAF, am I going to alter my life around it? No, I'm not. But will I watch it again? Yeah. If I'm around on a Saturday night, have nothing to do, and there's a lot of times I have nothing to do on a Saturday night because I'm getting ready for this show, or on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm flipping through the channels, maybe instead of watching a rerun of Law & Order or Deal or No Deal or whatever's on the television, or some antiquated movie, yeah, I'd pop it on again. And you'll have some hardcore fans. You'll have some people that can't stand it. But after two games, if you get me to want to flip it back on, then yeah, I think it's a positive. And from the reaction that was generated off Twitter, and you can't judge everything off the good old cesspool of Twitter, but usually on Twitter you have a lot of different opinions. On the most part of things that I was seeing on Twitter, it was very positive with the Alliance of American Football. So when we get into the specifics, here's what I like. Let's start with the positive. I love that it was hard hitting. I saw some hits on the quarterback that you would never see in the NFL. And if they happened in the NFL, there'd be suspensions and mega fines. So the AAF has to embrace the hard hitting nature of it, because that's what's going to get people to tune in. And you saw a few times quarterbacks get popped and the helmet fly off. So that was entertaining. That was fun. I really enjoyed the sky judge, which is an extra official from above. And they have the ability to review every play in real time. And what they could do, and Saints fans would love this, they could buzz down and correct obvious and egregious errors, whether it was a call that was a bad one or a call that wasn't made. And what I thought was cool was when they used that sky judge on review, there was one play, there was I believe it was ruled incomplete in the end zone. They had the sky judge mic'd up, so when they reviewed it, you could go through the process, and they eventually did overturn it. So I thought that was a neat, transparent way to give the viewer an opportunity to see how that judge is reviewing the play and how they're going to dictate what the call will be. So I really did enjoy that Sky Judge element and the way that they brought it in an interactive way to the viewer and make you seem as if you're in the booth helping out with the call, even though you're physically not. No TV timeouts, which makes the game shorter. There's no doubt about it. You never see that in the NFL because, hey, we all know the NFL has a lot of money to make. That's clear. Coaches in the game, mic'd up, loved it. You have Spurrier saying, yeah, just tell this guy to catch it this time when he's calling a play. That was fun. You need trick plays. You need gimmicks. They had the trick plays. They had the gimmicks, the gadget plays. Hey, you saw the Philly special run in one of the games. So that was neat. And you need those trick plays. And in the NFL, I'm okay with the defensive battle. In this type of football, you need high-scoring games. And the Atlanta Legends and San Diego Fleet only delivered and produced 6 points, and the Commanders of San Antonio only put up 15. Now, it's the first time, so I'm not going to kill them for that, but we need to see more of those trick plays, the aggressive nature, and a little bit of fun with it. And then also the competitive fire. These are guys that are trying to further their life in football, so you're not having guys that are just collecting the paycheck and walking through the motions. There was some intensity and there was some fun with it in a very big-time competitive way. Now, here are the confusing things or some things that I didn't love. The first time I heard illegal defense, I said, what the heck is that? But in my understanding of the rules, you could only rush five. So that's an adjustment period. If you watch regular football, you could rush how many ever guys that you have on the 11 players on the field. You could only rush five, and your defensive players have to be lined up like 2 yards outside of the tackle if they're rushing. Can't be any more than 2 yards. Another thing, no kickoffs, which is bizarre. I know the NFL is trying to get away from kickoffs, but it's bizarre watching a game with no kickoffs and no extra points as well. And then the thing that was tough just as a first-time viewer was you don't have a true identity with any of these teams. We could poke fun and go, oh, we love the Arizona Hotshots. And like that name and play it up, but you're watching it and you're going, who the heck is this player? And when you watch the games, there's two teams, you know the names of the teams, but trying to remember who's on whose team and who's the good players and all that, and who's coaching whose team, it does get confusing because it's not something that we've seen each and every year. And I get this free agency in the NFL, but you mainly know in the NFL who's on whose team. You know, Brady, Patriots. You know, Drew Brees, Saints. Even if you go to the running backs, the wide receivers, defensive players, you know what players on what team. In this league, it's kind of as if, oh, yeah, I've never seen this before, so now I have to go study up on the Atlanta Legends roster. And since some players are players you know, but the players that aren't marquee names, it's tough to remember them. But it's the first time that this league has ever played a game. So, if you continue to go back and back and keep on going and watching these games, you'll eventually develop a better understanding of who plays for whose teams and depending on how long they do last in the league. So, overall, I was impressed by it. Do I think it was the best football I've ever seen? Absolutely not. Do I think it was great football? No. But they gave me, for the quarter and a half that I watched, enough reasons to not alter my life about it, but to say, yeah, I'll watch it again. And that's all you could ask for right now. So here's my question for you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Did you enjoy the first two games of the debut for the Alliance of American Football? Did you enjoy the AAF? And will you return? Tell me what you like. Tell me what you dislike. We'll talk about it next. We're talking AAF on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
A few ways to interact with the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The question is, are you enjoying the AAF so far? You could check it out on Twitter at Zach Gelb. You could also check it out at CBS Sports Radio. We have that poll question up right now. Are you enjoying the AAF so far? And I'm surprised by the early returns of the poll. 77% say they enjoyed the AAF. 23% say no. I thought this was going to be more 60-40, but as I said in the open, a lot of positive reviews for the Alliance of American Football. And then you could also interact with us on the telephone lines, which, by the way, are now open, and that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. So let me also delve into a way that we could compare to the NFL and maybe see some things that are done differently in the Alliance of American Football that maybe you want to see carried over into the NFL. So a few things that jump out to me. Number one, the Sky Judge, which, like we said, they could review every play in real time, and they could also correct obvious and egregious errors. This is something that has to happen in the National Football League. And the way they present it, they could either copycat it, which is fine, or have a different variation of it, but I love the concept of it. Because they don't stop every play, but they have the ability to review it and look at it in case of something like what happened in the Saints-Rams game does occur, where an official just misses something that should have been called. And I love how on the television, when you go to the review, they mic up that Sky Judge. And I was watching a bunch of clips on Twitter and also on the television, and how they were able to show you how that judge, how that official changes the call or keeps the call that was made on the field. And I think that is big, because a lot of times you'll see a great game and you'll have the stupid take of, oh, the fix is in, the game was rigged, the officials, they favor one team and they overturned the call. You have some sophomoric, idiotic take that way. Well, now we get to hear what the officials are thinking, because there are a lot of times where now the refs on review, they get it right, but you look at it and you go, oh, that's not conclusive. So why was it overturned? But they got it right. So I would love to hear the explanation, instead of just having a ref go out on the field and go, the receiver caught the football, maintained possession, and then after the game you try to get it out from the pool reporter, from the referee, and they just give you some answer that's not satisfactory. So I like that Sky Judge, and I like the way that they present it, and I think the NFL should adopt that. Now, the onside kick rule. I don't love this one. I get why it works for the Alliance of American Football, but for the NFL, I would not get rid of the onside kick. They basically got rid of it this year. I think that's a mistake. It's so tough to recover an onside kick now with the way that the rules are assembled. But for the Alliance of American Football, I'm fine with it. But what they have is, if you were down 17, you could elect to, from the 28-yard line, your own 28, you have to get 12 yards to keep the football. So that's interesting, and that's when you're down 17 points. Or if it's in the final 5 minutes, you could attempt it. Let's say you score, you want to, this is their way of onside kicking it since there's no kickoffs. You get the ball at the 28, you have to get 12 yards. No kickoffs for the Alliance of American Football, that's fine. You just get the ball at the 25. In the NFL, I don't want to see the kickoff go away, because football is a three-phase game. You saw that in this past Super Bowl. And a lot of players make a roster because of special teams. I think the kickoff is a very exciting play, even though they try to take it out of the game. But if you're able to break off a run for 40, 50 yards, you set your team up in nice field position. And then the no extra point. I wouldn't want to see that carried over to the NFL. Not having an extra point and going for two every way, I don't like it. Their strategy, sometimes teams goes for two and they try to get an advantage. Sometimes you just kick the extra point. And the extra point, as we've seen, although it should be a gimme, it's not always a gimme. We've seen a lot of kickers since they moved the extra point back start to miss those. So really the big takeaway that I have from the Alliance of American Football and the thing that I love the most, I know some people will sit there and say, well, let's hit the quarterback the way they hit the quarterback in this league. And that's never going to happen because it's about the money. And we all know how much franchise quarterbacks are paid and the importance of a franchise quarterback. They are never going to let you hit the quarterback like they do in this league, in the Alliance of American Football, into the NFL. So the main thing I really loved were when I watched it last night and said the NFL should adopt this is the sky judge. Other than that, I totally get why they don't have onside kicks and they do it the way that they do it. I totally get why they don't have kickoffs, and I totally get why they don't do the extra point. I don't want to see that, though, carried over into the NFL because I hate in the National Football League where they try to diminish the importance of special teams, and special teams, to me, is still very valuable even though it's starting to fade away in terms of the kickoff, the onside kick, and all that. But punting could change field position, as we see. You also have in the NFL, we've seen, just look at this past Super Bowl, the way that special teams can impact the game. I get the NFL is moving away for player safety from the traditional kickoff that we know it, but I wouldn't get rid of it in its entirety. Would not surprise me eventually one day the NFL does get rid of it. But the NFL, they could use the Alliance of American Football as a tool, and they could look at it as a resource. Although it's not the NFL, you could look and see, oh, well, maybe we're thinking about a rule like that. Now, let's see how it works in this league. And it just gives you a way of seeing it in some sort of a football setting. And there's some things maybe you could take and implement them into the NFL, but there's still a fine difference between the NFL and the Alliance of American Football. But overall, and like I said, I'm not going to alter my schedule around the AAF, but I will watch it again. There were some offensive plays where you go, wow, that was brutal to watch. But there was enough hard hits. There was enough good effort. And enough things that I saw that said, yeah, is this league going to last forever? Probably not. Because it's tough to survive if you're not the NFL or college football. But there was enough positive reaction, enough buzz after the first two games. And we'll see how long it's going to last. I can't say after two games it's a slam dunk and it's definitely going to work. But they didn't lose a tremendous amount of people from the reaction that we're seeing socially, which you can't judge everything based off social media. But when you have a lot of positive publicity on social media and a lot of positive takes, it's an encouraging step number one when the odds are stacked against you. So right now, 78% of the people on our poll say yes, they're enjoying the AAF so far. 22% say no. Brian Berry chimes in on Twitter. He said, I didn't watch it last night, but after listening to you and Huge earlier, I may have to watch a little on Sunday. And you do have two games coming up on Sunday. Let me just run real quickly for you through the teams. Now, there are only 8 teams so far. The Arizona Hotshots, which that's just the name I love the most, Hot Shots. The Atlanta Legends, the Birmingham Iron, the Memphis Express, the Orlando Apollos, the Salt Lake Stallions, the San Antonio Commanders, and the San Diego Fleet. And some of the coaches, you know, you have Steve Spurrier involved, you have Mike Singletary, Mike Martz, and a whole lot more. But when they further expand this, I don't know what their future plans are. Yeah, I think it's important to go to a place like Birmingham where there's no NFL team. I think it's important to go to Memphis where there's no NFL team. San Antonio where there's no NFL team. San Diego where there's no NFL team anymore. And maybe you could get a college type of vibe going there. Or even when I go to some of these soccer games, or not physically go, but I was in Orlando and there was a soccer game in town and I was blown away by the support for the local soccer team. And when you go to places that have passionate people and you maybe implement a team there, it could be positive. How long will that positivity last? I don't know, but it was encouraging after day number one. So here's where we'll go. Are you enjoying the AAF? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I promise you we'll take your phone calls when we come back. And also, after what we talked about with maybe how some things could be carried over to the NFL, are there any rules that you really did enjoy from seeing the AAF start last night that you say maybe that thing could work in the National Football League? So hang tight on hold. We'll get your phone calls in. 855-212-4CBS.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
When I was watching the Alliance of American Football, I was waiting for Shane Falco to just appear from the movie The Replacements. That was one thought I was thinking about when I was watching the first two games in the debut of the Alliance of American Football. Coming up later today, you will have Birmingham and Memphis play. That's 4 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network if interested. And then later this evening, it's Arizona with the Arizona Hotshots. And Salt Lake will play. That game will be on the NFL Network. Let's just say if you wanted to go to the game, and if you go through Ticketmaster for the Birmingham Iron versus the Choo Choo Memphis Express, get on board the Memphis Express. The lowest price for a ticket at face value, $18.65. I'm surprised it's that high. Now, if you want to get the best seat, face value, $40.86. That's right at the 50-yard line. Now, that's the best seat on Ticketmaster. Does that mean that's the highest price? No, if you want to get into their club, it's a little under $200 for face value. I couldn't see myself, honestly, spending almost $41, even if it's for the best seat in the house, or one of the best seats in the house, to go to one of these games right now. I just couldn't. Because if you're going to take a family of four, then it gets a little pricey. Now, yeah, you could get in for $18-19. You think it'd be a little bit cheaper, though. But if you want to go sit in the Miners Club at the Memphis Express, it's $198.96. So, you can get in the building. I wonder if you go on like a SeatGeek or something like that, what ends up happening. But, are you going to shell out $40? Graceffo, you paying $40? If, let's say, they had a team in New Jersey, would you pay $40 to go watch this right now?
To watch minor league football? No, thank you.
How about you, Moriello? Would you pay $40? How about $18? Would you? Let's say Moriello wants to sit in the cheap seats at the Memphis Express game. You lived in Memphis. Would you pay $18 face value right now?
I probably would. $40, no. But okay. $18, I would.
$18, gotcha. Now, by the way, if you want to update your depth charts for the Alliance of American Football, Mike Martz already has a quarterback controversy. He's the head coach of the San Diego Fleet. Mike Bercovici, who got popped in the game. It was a big-time hit. And he actually celebrated his 26th birthday on Saturday. How about that for your 26th birthday? You're starting in the AAF. You get popped. And you eventually get pulled out of the game. And then another quarterback comes in, Philip Nelson. And then after the game, you get some birthday punches from your coach as the coach says that Nelson will be the starting quarterback moving forward. So the Fleet will host the Atlanta Legends on February 17th, and Philip Nelson will be the starting quarterback, not Mike Bercovici. But for Bercovici, he will be on every promo and highlight reel and every marketing tool for the Alliance of American Football because they are going to market the crap out of the hard hits. And he got popped, absolutely popped in the game. Yes, Graceffo, you want to say something?
Do you feel like there's a little bit of a hypocrisy factor that they're going to market hard hits in this league if you think they're going to market hard hits in this league?
Because of the
player
safety?
If we're going to talk about player safety?
Well, the one thing I could say is in terms of player safety, if you're going to make a defense for them, if they're going to make an argument, well, we eliminated a lot from the kickoffs. So that could make it seem as if they care about player safety But in reality, if this league is going to succeed, you need to do something different than the NFL. You're never going to be able to compete with the NFL. We all know that.
So if a couple minor league quarterbacks get their brain scrambled, we're cool with it?
I'm not saying it's right, but how many times did you see, I know you weren't really paying attention, but on Twitter, when those hits happened, people were going, wow, this would never happen in the NFL.
Of course
it
would.
Yeah, that's what attracts
because
people.
Because we have to protect the players because the players are the dollar signs.
Well, yeah. If Tom Brady now, but or you're Aaron Rodgers got hit that way, it'd be, you know, the player would be suspended for 9 games.
But now we don't value the guys who are out there playing for 70 grand playing quarterback in this league
at all. I'm not saying that, but that you don't think they're going to market that?
I mean, then don't talk to me about player safety in your league then. Then you can't have both ways.
Are they sitting though on a mountaintop right now screaming about player safety?
It's football, Zach. Eventually we're going to get to player safety in this league.
Do you think enough people are going to care about this league?
Yes.
Where they're going to be
humans are still out there playing football.
Yeah, but you know what? The player safety topic is more going to be talked about and is going to catch buzz with the NFL and college football as it has. I don't think a lot of people are going to say, you know what, I don't think there'll be enough interest for that conversation to be sparked. Some people may say that, like you said, but...
Football's still football. I don't care what level you play it on.
Yeah, sure, I totally understand that.
And your head is still taking a beating.
Yes, but Graceffa, if you don't think the XFL and the Alliance of American Football aren't going to market the crap out of the big hits, you need a reason to tune in. You need to do something that's different. So I'm not saying they're going to fully endorse taking the crown of your helmet and leaning with your head, but there was just a big collision.
Yeah, I got a problem with it. I'm sorry.
You didn't even watch the game anyway.
I'm just saying.
Did you even see the hit?
Yes, I have. I have a Twitter account, yes.
Okay, so what was the big issue with the hit?
Just the ferocity of the hit and that it would never be allowed in any other league.
But was it a dirty hit?
No, but the same hit 5 years ago in the NFL wasn't a dirty hit.
Okay, but once again, this is not going to be something that's compared to the NFL. But when I look at that hit, for example, the player does leave his feet, so that wouldn't happen in the NFL. But he makes a hit right in the shoulder and chest area, and the guy's helmet pops off. Now, I'll say this, when I was watching Berkovici throughout the game, his helmet came off a few times. So maybe he has to get the chin strap a little bit tighter. But I didn't think that was a hit that wouldn't happen in the NFL, but I didn't think that was a hit that was dirty intent. Now, if it's a dirty play, that's different. That was just a hard football hit, and that's how this league is going to get marketed.
Dirty or not dirty, the same hit in the NFL would have been illegal 5 years ago, and it would be illegal now.
You're like a broken record. You keep on saying the same thing. I get your point. But this league would be stupid not to market the big hits because you have to catch the attention of people. You have to show people something that doesn't happen in the NFL. And that's one way. And you saw a few big hits last night. Let's go to Peter in Boston. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, how you doing? I overheard you guys talking about the overtime and extra point onside kick situation. And, I had a suggestion, maybe silly, but in my mind it sounds like it would work. How about moving the punter up, you know, not taking it out of the special team's hand, move the punter up, making it a situation where he could possibly kick it through the uprights, and then they would win possession of the ball. Or
for what?
To get possession of the ball instead of doing the onside kick, if they're going to get rid of the onside kick, you know, move the punter up, and if he could kick it through the uprights, you win possession of the ball.
From how many yards out?
Something reasonable, okay. Where he could possibly hit it. You know, or maybe move the kicker to the 55-60 and have him kick it through the uprights. And if he kicks it, they get possession of the ball.
Gotcha.
And that way, you're not taking the drama out of the situation because, you know, I kind of live for that drama sometimes when it's, you know, one score away, the guy gets the ball back and they got a chance to go back and tie it up going to overtime. That way, you're not taking that drama away from the situation. They still got to kick the ball through the uprights in order to win possession.
Mm-hmm. So and the way that they currently have it in this league, there's still drama. You get the ball up to 28 and you got to get 12 yards. But yeah, I'm on board if you want to change that up and do something different. I don't hate the rule that you suggested. Let's go out to South Carolina. Jacob joins us next on the Zach Gelb Show. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great. So, what you got for me, Jake?
here's a thought I had. So how do you think, would you choose a practice squad or a for an NFL team or an AAF starting position?
Well, the AAF does not run up against the NFL. So you could technically do both if you wanted to.
So, okay, I guess they play at different times. You're right, but I mean...
But you're asking me, would I rather be a practice squad player in the National Football League or play for the AAF?
Yes.
I'd rather be a practice squad player because at least I'm in the building in the NFL, and maybe there's a chance that I get promoted to the NFL roster. That's just me personally.
But I feel like with, like, social media and video today, the AAF and being on TV would, like, have an impact on your, like, value in a way.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. And we don't know how long this league is going to last. I appreciate the phone call, Jacob. So, yeah, it could be nice for a year to be recognized, but we also got to see what the ratings are. And this is something that people are reacting right now and saying, oh, yeah, you know, fun. Let's still see how many people are on board in 2-3 weeks. Because after the first two games, people liked it. And there's one thing for people to get on social media and say, I like it, it's fun, blah, 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 blah. But how many people are they going to get back? How many people are they going to retain? And not only retain, but do so throughout the entire course of the season. CBS, NFL Network did a nice job presenting the game. The people that run the league did a nice job presenting the game and marketing it. They bring in some big-time former NFL players. They put them on our airways. We, you know, we talked to Hines Ward going a few months back. You got Phil Savage doing interviews as well. So they do a nice job marketing it, but how long will this thing last? And will there be a lot of interest moving forward in the big picture? I'll tell you something that I would love to see to maintain the interest and keep it up. I see Sean Mraz, the producer of the DA show, loving this stuff, eating it up. He's eating up the AAF. Well, he's always eating things up. But for Mraz, I want to see, and here's a message to the Alliance of American Football, I want Sean Mraz on the pregame show, or I want him in the booth calling play-by-play. That would be extremely entertaining, and he cares for this product. So Alliance of American Football, you need the mothership with DA and Mraz on your broadcast. We need more Sean Mraz and DA associated with the Alliance of American Football. Steve Diazzi joins us next to talk some NFL.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Also, our toll-free line, which is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's move off of the football talk. Fun first hour talking about the Alliance of American Football. Then also jumping back in on Super Bowl 53 with the former NFL linebacker in Steve Diazzi in the last segment. But there's a lot of craziness and a lot of drama right now in the NBA. And I said this point over and over and over again, and I'll probably echo it about 400 more times before the season does conclude. In my opinion, and this is not a take that you need a PhD in basketball, and this is not a take that's going to reinvent the wheel of sports talk radio, I'll let you in on a little secret of my personal feelings that I don't care what you call in with, what tweet you have, what you say. In my opinion, the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship this year. Wow. Breaking news. Scorching hot take right there from Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. The Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship. When you have a lineup of Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and DeMarcus Boogie Cousins with the bench, and with some other guys that have played well in the big moment, you're going to win the title. You may get beat one time, two times in a seven-game series, but not four. I would be stunned if the Golden State Warriors don't win the championship. But there is drama each and every day from the NBA. And sometimes it's really good play on the court. Most of the times, it's things that are said and craziness that does ensue. Like, for example, last night we had the Thunder and the Rockets play, 117 to 112. You had a fun matchup between Westbrook and Paul George and Harden and Chris Paul. Harden goes for 42. Westbrook has another triple-double. Did have 10 turnovers, though. And Paul George goes for 45 and 11 rebounds. Thunder win 117-112. Fun game. No doubt about it. But there was a bigger take from last night. And probably the biggest storyline in the NBA from last night, as it changes from day to day, with all the craziness that does happen, is what's going on with the Celtics right now. And when I looked at the Celtics, and we talked about them Saturday morning, I said, yeah, they haven't looked as sharp as you would have thought. They're money at home, but on the road, not so much this year. But when you look at that team, they have so much talent that I'm not that concerned with them. Because, yes, there's competition with the Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers in that Eastern Conference. But if the Celtics are together as a team, as I said yesterday, then they'll be fine. But the problem is now that we learn after blowing a lead to the Lakers and then being up 28 on Saturday evening and blowing that lead to the LA Clippers, you hear a lot of problems after the game. And Marcus Morris was very clear about it. Called it unacceptable. And he also said when he looks around the league, he sees a bunch of guys getting up and cheering on the bench and playing for each other. When I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals. And he talks about how this year has not been fun. And it's a very intriguing take because of the fact that you had a team going into the year that lost two players last year in the postseason. Still got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. They lost. But the carryover effect was you still have Tatum, you still have Rozier, you still have Brown, you still have Horford, you still have Morris, you still have Smart from that roster last year, plus you get two huge dominoes back in Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And it was supposed to be easy. No LeBron in the conference, you're supposed to be getting to the finals. So they still may. But it appears, and this has been a distraction for a lot of teams in the NBA, when there's uncertainty and you hear rumors about players possibly being traded in the offseason for Anthony Davis. And when you have so many talented players on a roster, you know some guys could be eventually going. The individual, because of so many different individual thoughts, takes over from what should be everyone sacrificing for the betterment of the team. So something's going on in Boston right now. And the question is, can you get the most out of this team in the level that they're supposed to be from when the season did start? After some controversial quotes, after some truth from Marcus Morris and what he feels, and we appreciate him doing so, can they recover? I don't know. And when he says what he said, it's very telling. They could recover. They may not recover. But if this team doesn't get to the finals, it's a failure of a season for the Boston Celtics. So that's another drama that gets added to the never-ending drama wheel of one of the greatest soap operas of all time that we call the NBA. But it doesn't stop there, because there's a lot of storylines for the rest of the season. You have the impending free agency of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving as well. And maybe some of those rumors are affecting the Boston Celtics. They don't know who's staying and who's going. What will happen in the AD trade market? You have LeBron. And can that team regroup and make a push for the playoffs? They're a 10 seed right now, so they would not be in the playoffs. But when you had all the rumors of players and young players being traded, and Ball and Ingram and Kuzma, you have LeVar Ball criticizing Luke Walton. You have LeBron's camp through sources saying that Luke Walton's not the guy. How will that chemistry of a team that there's going to be changes? Most likely the coach is going to be out and several of the youngsters are going to be dealt in the offseason as they're trying to get that next big fish to team up with LeBron. How will the chemistry be for the rest of the season when you have guys knowing that most likely they're not going to be a part of the future of the Lakers? So KD's a huge storyline. Kyrie's a huge storyline. AD's a huge storyline. And so is LeBron with the Lakers. And then you get the East, too. Like we said, Celtics with the Kyrie injury. You'll see how serious it is. Doesn't appear to be that serious. Then you have the comments of Marcus Morris. The Sixers. Will there be enough basketballs? Can they mesh? Can they close out with the new roster, which looks very talented, of Butler, Harris, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid? You have the Raptors, no more LeBron in the conference. You're bringing Kawhi Leonard. Can Kyle Lowry get past some of his past playoff demons? And you just brought in Gasol. And then you have the Bucks, Greek Freak, Middleton, Budenholzer, Brogdon, Lopez, and you bring in Mirotic. So there's a lot of storylines here. I'll ask you this at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's the storyline that intrigues you the most for the rest of this NBA season? For me, it's Kevin Durant. And the reason why it's KD is very simple. Because that impacts the rest of the competitive balance in the NBA. If KD stays with the Warriors, it's once again where we're just looking at drama and we're not paying attention to the games because we know the Warriors are going to win it all. But if KD goes somewhere else, Warriors would still be very good, but it's not a lock that they win the NBA title. So for me, the storyline that intrigues me the most is the Kevin Durant drama. And if he wants to act very petulant and with this fake tough guy act to the media, he can continue to do that. But I'm very curious to see where KD winds up next year because, once again, the NBA offseason outweighs the regular season.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
I'll update you on the poll question at Zach Gelb on Twitter, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. You could also find it at CBS Sports Radio. And we'll get back to this at the top of the hour. Are you enjoying the AAF so far, the Alliance of American Football? 79% say yes, 21% say no. So continue to get the votes in, and we'll make sure we tally all of them before the conclusion of the show, or the cesspool of Twitter will tally them, and they'll tell me what the results are, and then I'll read them to you once again by the end of the show. But right now, 79% say yes, they're enjoying the AAF so far. After two games, 21% say no, they are not. But a lot of positivity with the Alliance of American Football. Anyway, before I watched the Alliance of American Football last night, I went out for dinner with the family. And my old man wasn't too happy with the wait at the restaurant. It was 30 minutes, typical on a Saturday night. I didn't think it was that bad, but there was an area in the restaurant where you could order at the counter, and it would be as if you were taking it to go, but you could go sit in those seats. I didn't want to do that because we're at an Italian restaurant. You do that, you don't get the bread basket, which is such a big, important, clutch thing when you go get an Italian meal. You get a bread basket. So you don't get the complimentary bread basket. And I was very thirsty. So if we would have sat in the cheap seats, you wouldn't have got the free, high-quality H2O water refills. So I did put my foot down and said to the family, we are not sitting in the cheap seats. We need to go and get seated properly in a booth. So they said 30 minutes. It ended up being a 25-minute wait. We sit down. have a nice salad to start as an appetizer. We get a little pizza for the table. And then I got a pesto pasta dish, which was absolutely delicious. But when they brought out the pizza, and I was only going to have a slice of the pizza because I was having the salad and I was having the pasta dish as well, but I wanted to try the pizza. The pizza was so hot that I burned the roof of my mouth, which is never fun. When you have a really hot steaming dish and you take a quick bite out of it and you burn your mouth, that's not fun, especially when you have to go host a radio show not that long after. But you know me, I'm as tough as they come on the radio, and I will fight through the pain. I thought I was tough. And then I got to Bill Walton, who last night was calling a college basketball game with Dave Pasch on ESPN, on the ESPN. And Dave Pasch and Bill Walton got cupcakes. Graceffa, you a big cupcake guy, by the way? I didn't have dessert for dinner, so now I'm getting hungry.
Yes.
Okay, so you're a big cupcake guy.
Certainly.
Makes sense. You're usually a peachy
fellow. Any kind of cake, like you put in any kind of cake in any form, I'm eating it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what gets you happy in life. Is
crumb cake, carrot cake,
cheesecake,
icebox cake, cream cake.
Oh, I make the best icebox cake. I really do.
I like icebox cake.
Every year for Thanksgiving, we call it a cookie cake, but I make it 3-4 days in advance. You let that sucker sit in the fridge. Delicious. Maybe I'll make you a cookie cake icebox cake.
Devil's food cake.
Now you're getting me hungry.
Angel food cake.
Really defeats the purpose of myself going to the gym yesterday if we're going to start eating cake.
Just going
to
name every kind of cake there is.
Did you get the pound cake?
No, I didn't. Pound cake's good.
Pound cake,
you got to have a flavor of pound cake, though. It's a little rough.
Have some whipped cream on the pound
cake?
Sure,
she could do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so they were celebrating someone's birthday at ESPN. And Bill Walton didn't even know his birthday they were celebrating when they were singing. He goes, oh, what's this guy's name again on national television? And they give Dave Pasch and Bill Walton a cupcake. And Dave Pasch makes a joke and says, oh, you got to eat the cake with the lit candle in it. Bill Walton takes burning the roof of your mouth to a different level and takes a bite out of the cupcake with the candle that is lit. Now, that is great television. And also very stupid.
Did Bill finish the game?
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah.
He wasn't even... He must spit fire. You know, when you go to a circus and you have the guy that spits fire.
Or he blows a lot of smoke. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
He's a deadhead, so...
Yeah, he blows a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm. I got what you're saying. My old man, by the way, back when Bob Saget was in college... At Temple, my dad was a few years younger. Bob Saget would go on a comedy tour with a mutual friend of my dad. And they called the group like Mixed Nuts or something like that. And my dad would be the opening act. He would spit fire. Except one time when he spit the fire, there was asbestos on the ceiling. And the fire went right back into his face. And Bob Saget, there's a video of it. Has told this story before. It was quite comical, and you know, my dad ended up being okay, so that's why it's funny. But maybe Bill Walton back in the day had a little experience with eating fire, so maybe that's why he was prepared for this situation.
There's a good bet Walton doesn't even know what state he's in covering broadcasting the game.
He's a nice guy.
I'm not saying that. He's just, you know, he's a little out there. He might not even know where he is.
Okay.
He don't know what time it is.
It's very comical, by the way, when he does call a basketball game. I will say that.
Yeah, he rambles about incoherent things. And they post it on the internet.
And this guy, and the thing that's...
And that's what they call good broadcast.
Well, it's entertaining. The guy's eating a cupcake with a candle in it last night. And this guy burned the roof of his mouth. It was unbelievable. By the way, Graceffa, since you're in such a peachy mood right now.
Sure.
What did you think of Tyler Moriello wearing a New England Patriots World Championship hat?
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting more physically sick.
You sound like Belichick there by a second at first when I asked that
question. You like
question.
That, grumble?
And then I'm wearing the same hat as well. We did not plan this to annoy
you,
by the way. No, he didn't.
Okay.
I don't even have Tyler's number. You think I talk to him when I leave here?
That's fair. I mean, okay. Jeez.
I go, I'm a pompous radio host. I'm not talking to the lowly born.
Looking at the two of you, this is my hell. I got to be honest with you. This is, like, worse than, like, if this is, like, the seventh circle of hell at 5 a.m. with two Patriot fans wearing two dopey hats, this is pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Well, I told Graceffo through the talkback. I told Moriello through the talkback when you were outside the room that I would give him $20 if he got that Patriot hat on your head by the end of the show.
No. He doesn't want my hair messing up his hat.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't want that.
We don't want any loser.
I don't think I would get back.
I'd find the
nearest window and it'd be chucked out of it.
Yeah, you don't want the loser vibes, though, in your hat, too, Moriello. Graceffo has a lot of losing associated with him.
Too bad it's hard to find a window around here.
What would be your price tag? If I give you $500 right now, you wear that Patriot hat?
Not a chance.
For $500?
No.
$1,000?
No.
$1,500?
No.
$750,000?
No.
Are you serious?
I'm not wearing the dumb hat. You don't understand the level of hatred that flows through
like,
my body.
You make, like, what, $15, $20 an hour? I'm going to give you $750,000? That pays your rent for a long time.
Not wearing the hat.
Million.
Not wearing the hat.
$2 million?
Probably I'll wear the hat.
Okay. So that's your breaker, $2 million.
Yeah, I mean, I had to hold out.
I was about to go $1 billion.
I had to hear how you were going to go.
Oh, I don't have.
Yeah, no.
I don't have $1 million.
I mean,
so.
Between the three of us, we got no money.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest.
Maybe we should start touring and eating cupcakes with candles in them.
You're lucky you got enough money for the gas home in your car.
I filled up today.
There you go.
Wasn't bad. $35 filled up the tank.
That's a little high.
Really?
Yeah.
$35. Well, it actually stopped at 33, and I had to keep on pumping to get for $2 more.
Nice.
Because I already put it on the credit card.
Nicely done.
So there you go. Really? You wouldn't. If I gave you $500 right now, you wouldn't wear that Patriot hat for 5 seconds. You wouldn't? No. Okay. I'm shocked. $500, Graceffo. Wear a Patriot hat.
No.
Okay. We'll get back to the AF next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.